The following Dharma talk was presented at Common Ground Meditation Center, Minneapolis, Minnesota, as part of the weekly Dharma series.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Sabbe sankhara anuttanti, sabbe sankhara dukkanti, sabbe dhamma anuttanti, yada panyaya vasati, ati nibbintite dukke, esa magge visuddhi esa. Hi, good evening. How are you today? Okay. So the topic, as we said, this evening is going to be the three universal characteristics. And I like to make it more a discussion than my sitting and talking. So once in a way I'll ask you for things to help me, answer some questions and help me. And then make it interesting for both parties. And any time if anyone thinks that they don't understand, because of my accent you might not understand me, and it's quite all right, it wouldn't bother me if you put your raise your hand up and ask me to repeat it, or if you have a question to ask, or if there's something that you don't understand, you are most welcome to raise your hand and ask. And nothing bothers me. So even if you make any personal remark, even that's fine, it wouldn't bother me. Even though not actually understanding my accent, if you say something else, that's fine too, it wouldn't bother me. Okay. So we are going to talk about the three universal characteristics. So that is the title of what I said in the Pali Sanskrit. Now, as we all know that the Blessed One's teachings came from his own experience. So Buddhism is actually a religion that you have to experience yourself. So it was not a revealed religion. It was what the Blessed One experienced by himself. His own observations and his own contemplations. So one of the most fundamental teachings is that of the three universal characteristics. And in Pali it's called the Trilakkhana. And he founded and formulated this 2,600 years ago. Now, as you all know, this world, it's a diverse world. There's so much of diversity. We have animate things, inanimate things. But within this diversity, the Blessed One found that there is three common characteristics that is there no matter what the thing is. These three are present. So it is, these three are common from the microbe to a human being, from a simple sensation to the thoughts of a genius, from a speck of dust to the universe. You name it, and these three characteristics are there. Yeah? Even if you look at your, no matter how you look at your existence, be it your physical existence, or your mental, or your spiritual, even in there, you will find these three characteristics. And it is developing and understanding these three characteristics that is called wisdom. And that is what in the Buddhist path the Buddha called wisdom. That is of the Panya section of the Eightfold Path, understanding this. Now, is there anyone here who can help me with the three characteristics? What are the three characteristics that you are talking about? I'm sure you are all, I heard you all have a wonderful teacher here, so I'm sure you are all familiar with the three characteristics. So what are they? Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta. What is Anicca? Impermanence. That is what they said. Sabbe Sankara Anicchanti. Everything in the world, everything that you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, even think, they're all impermanent. And that is Anicca. The second one is Dukkha. That is everything in this world is unsatisfactory. And everything, those two are easy to understand. It's the third one that everyone finds it difficult. Everything in this world is without any substance, no entity. It's emptiness. So what? It is because of our not understanding these characteristics that we all go round and round in samsara. And understanding these three characteristics is what we call enlightenment, the realizing. See, we let go of our attachments. As long as we have these characteristics, we are attached to things. Right? See, the ordinary, worldly, sees things in a quite a different way. See, they think that what we call impermanent, the ordinary person thinks it as something very permanent. So everything that you hear, see, touch, smell, taste is permanent. Your positions are permanent, everything. That is why they are so attached to everything, because they think it's permanent. And they don't realize that things are unsatisfactory. And they are attached to everything too. And they don't realize that there is no I or mine or a self in this. So that is why we are attached. But when we understand this, we let go of the attachment, and that is when we can realize Nibbana. Now, when the group of five monks heard the first sermon from the Blessed One, anyone knows the name of the first sermon? Yeah? Dhamma Chakrapavartana Sutta. What does it mean? What's the English meaning of that? The turning of the wheel. That is the very, very first sermon that the very brand new Buddha gave. And when he gave that sermon, it says, the stainless, the rustless, translate as rustless, some say dustless. The Dhamma eye, arose in one of those monks, that is Kondanja. What did he realize? What does it mean that the Dhamma eye rose? What did he see? Anyone knows what happened when he did? What he saw? He saw that everything, no matter what arises, things, whatever arises must come down. So the Pali thing, it is said, is Yantinchi Samudaya Dhammam Sabbantam Nirodha Dhammanti. Whatever arises comes down. So, what it is always, every time, the change is hidden in what arises. We see what arises, but we can't see the change. That is why we get attached to it. Now take, for example, birth. When a child is born, a new baby is born, we are so happy. We really rejoice, we celebrate. But can anyone see that right behind that birth, what is hidden there? Old age and death is right there with birth. You cannot avoid it. Birth cannot come, birth cannot happen without old age and death. It is right behind hidden. So we don't see that. So we are happy about the birth, but when the end of it comes, we are very sad about the death. But it is there, right there, one behind the other, which we don't see. So every time, no matter what arises, the cessation is right there, hidden with behind it. So this is why it is very important for us to know about these three characteristics. Once we know, even knowing it intellectually, is going to help us lead a better life. Now, we look at this individually. By the way, how much time do I have? 8:25. Okay. So the first one we are going to look at is Sabbe Sankhara Anicca. That is, all compounded things are impermanent. So you should view this fleeting world, a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, a flickering lamp, a phantom and a dream. Do you know this quote? Anyone here knows this quote?
No.
It's from a Buddhist text. Anyone? It's actually from a Mahayana sutta. It's called the Diamond Sutta. I love that so much. So I have it written right next to me where I can see it every day. The change, see how fleeting everything, the characteristic of impermanence, how we don't see. Our life is just like a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, boop, it's gone. It changes. So this characteristic is inherent in everything that we find. And so how many of you really think everything is impermanent? Is there anything permanent in our life? Look, all you have to do is look at your own body. You don't have to go far. Look at your body and look at it. Is that how you were before? No, we change, right? And we say that change is growth, change is good. In one way, we say that. But we take it only up to a certain point, the change is good for us, right? After that point, when it comes to my age, change is not good. then you put a word, old age, that's not good. How many of you want to be old? No one wants to be old, right? So you don't like, you like change only up to a certain point. Is our body the only thing that changes? What changes more than the body? The mind. How many. Now your mind must have changed a zillion times from the time you sat here. Okay? 1 minute it's hot, 1 minute it's cold. 1 minute I like the heat, I don't like the cold. So it changes. This is nice, this is not nice. I like it, I don't like it. It's changing all the time. And you too, all of you. Do you think you're the same person that came through the door about an hour ago? No, you changed. And you won't be the same person who will leave this place either, because you changed, both physically and mentally, and to some extent spiritually too, you changed. So it's not the same person that is going to leave here. So everything changes. And everything that we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, think, is changing all the time. So everything, the whole universe is in a state of flux, changing. But do we realize that? Most of us don't realize it. We think everything is permanent, everything lasts forever. So not only the animate things, even the inanimate things, the rivers, the trees, the mountains, the oceans, no matter what you look at, they change. It's really interesting. Every morning, especially when in this time of the year, the spring, the start of spring, when I go out and I look at the trees, how the buds started and how now they are the leaves are a little bit bigger than them, and then the apple blossoms, the apple trees were full of blossoms. And what happened in a desert, in a week's time, they're all changed, they're all falling down. So like then the magnolia flowered, stayed for about a week, how it changes. So everything from whatever it is changes. It is. So every day I go out and look at it, and I love the change. And even our body, look at it, even though we don't see it. If you really look at it, and you can see the changing going, you can feel the change. Yes?
Not to put too fine a point on it, but can God be perfect?
See, if you are talking of the Christian God who created the world, see, in Buddhism there is no God. That is why. So who created God? It's not permanent. So I don't think of it as permanent. But for Christians, yes, it's very much permanent. So I don't want to go there.
I'm not sure anybody else here does either.
No. Okay. So to them it's very much permanent and it's very much that's what they believe, and that's fine, and that's their business, not my business. Yeah. It is because of this impermanence that some great philosopher once said that you could not step into the same river twice. How many of you have heard that? I'm happy to take it a little bit further and say no living being can step into the river twice, because the being has changed too. So it's not the same person that steps the second time. It's changed. So understanding, even intellectually first, and then experiencing the impermanent nature of things, will help us live our life more meaningful and much more effectively. It will help us to understand things like friendship, marriage, career, wealth, health, all these things. See, then we can understand our spouses better. Because, I mean, everyone's mind changes. So one time it might be something that the wife cooked for you. You might like it one time. The next time you might think it's terrible. And that poor wife will get very upset. So we have to understand. And even if it's terrible, not say it's terrible. What does it matter? Because if everything changes, I might not like what I liked today. Because my mind changes. What the very thing I liked today, I will hate tomorrow. And that is what happens, right? When you get married, before you get married, you are so much in love. And you love that person. You think you love the person. But after a few years, it changes. So that love will change into hate. But do you know that we really and truly, we love only ourselves. We don't love the spouse as much as we think we are. We like the way that the spouse makes us feel. That is what we like. So we think we love the other person, but in reality we don't. We love, and then when that changes, our whole attitude towards the other person changes. So that is why we need to love people unconditionally, not what is happening to us. And why do we think like that? Because we have that attachment to this I. And it is all about I. Everything we do is about this I. Then some of us think that names are permanent. But what is the permanency in a name? Names are not permanent either. They are just a designation that is given to something so that we can better exchange ideas and talk about it. So there's nothing permanent in a name either. Now we'll see. I hope I will be able to. Now we'll see the second one. Sabbe sankara dukkanti. All compounded things are unsatisfactory. Now, different people translate this word dukkha into different words, like some say suffering. Actually, none of us are suffering right now, right? In the suffering, in the sense of suffering. But I think every single one of us right now is experiencing dukkha. Do you agree with me? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. Because how many times have you changed your posture? And you change. So it's hidden there too. You change your posture and you, this is fine. This is just wonderful. Then, not even 5 minutes, you change it again. Now it's fine. So you think you are happy all the time. I didn't have any dukkha. There was nothing unsatisfactory about it. I was so satisfied. That is how you think. Because that change is hidden. You do it even unconsciously. And we think that everything is satisfactory. Now, if anything arises, it is suffering. If anything passes away, it is suffering. Both formerly and now also, Anuruddha, it is just suffering. and the cessation of suffering I teach. As the vast ocean of disciples has but one taste, the taste of salt, even so this doctrine and discipline has but one taste, the taste of deliverance. Anyone familiar with those? Do you know what those are? Okay, those are three quotes from the Blessed One. And these, I brought these quotes out to show that the Blessed One was concerned only with the problem of our existence. And what is the problem of our existence? Anyone knows the problem with our existence? What is the problem with our existence? Huh? Yes, it's unsatisfactoriness, right? Our existence, it is by nature. Everything is very difficult, very imperfect, unsatisfactory. Most of the time, we bear things with difficulty, right? It's the bearing of difficulty. And that is exactly what the meaning of the word dukkha is. Bearing with difficulty. And the funniest part is, even though we bear with difficulty, even though life is unsatisfactory, you ask someone and people will always say, what is, people here must be thinking, what on earth is she talking? Life is so much fun. We have so much of fun. And she's saying, we are bearing with difficulty. I have no difficulty. I have no problems. I have everything in life. I have a good job. I have all the money. I have this. I have that. I have that. But what do you think you are doing from the time you get up? What you are acting like a slave to keep this body and to satisfy this body, everything. So why do you get up in the morning? What do? You bathe this, wash this body, bathe this body, feed this body, and do everything. And what does the body do to you at the end? Does the body listen to you? Yeah. The body has its own danger. It would not listen to you. It will get sick. It will get old. Can you ask the body? Please, body, don't get old. I don't want you to get old. No. And at the end, with all that slaving that you do for the body will die. Right? So we have a lot of difficulty in this, in our life. Even if we have all the money and we can avoid most of the things, there's a lot of things that people can do with money. They can, but there's one thing that they can't do with the money. And what is that one thing that they can't do with the money? Yes. And a lot of things that the doctors, I hope the doctors are, there aren't any doctors and they won't get mad at me. The doctors can do a lot of, but is there any doctor in this whole world before, now, or in the future will there be that can cure death? No. Actually, they can't even cure most of the sicknesses. They don't care. All they do is it is a temporary thing. That dukkha is there. It is temporary. They can guide us. They can give us all the tender loving care and very gently walk us to the grave. That's what they can do. Nothing beyond that. So life is unsatisfactory. There's a lot of and it is because of the unsatisfactoriness in life. It is because of seeing what are the three things that the Anyone knows the three divine messengers? Anyone here knows the three divine messengers? Those have visited each and every one of you. Your old age, sickness, and death. These are the three divine messengers. And it is by seeing these three divine messengers that changed the entire life of Prince Siddhartha. After living, and that is what made him leave his whole kingdom, his wife, his child, his wealth, everything, and go in search of an answer to these three. Did he find an answer? Yes. And that is what he gave us to. So if we follow that, we can all. So these three divine messengers have come to each and every one of you, right? I don't think there's anyone here in this group who has not come in contact with old age. If you haven't, I'm right here in front of you. Anyone sickness? How many of you can say, I have never ever been sick? No, we've all been sick. And death. How many of you have experienced someone near and dear, loving, that has died? So they have all come. And have you ever thought, when they came, this can happen to me too? No, we don't think of it. That's the problem. We don't think of it. I can remember when I was in my 20s, someone told me that, back in Sri Lanka, people read the horoscopes. I don't believe it. I don't even have a horoscope. But someone, one of my relatives told me, when you are 50, you'll be prone to sickness. I laughed and said, 50 at 20, for a person 20, 50 is, wow, way there. He said, what does it matter, 50? I thought I'd never reach 50. But see how much of a suffering that he has gone through. I'm 77 now. But I don't feel it though. So we all seek for happiness, right? We all want happiness. But we all look for happiness at the wrong place. We look for happiness, we think that sense gratification can make you happy. So we look for happiness by running after the pleasures of the six senses. And they are all changing. They are impermanent. So can you find happiness, lasting happiness, in something that is impermanent? So we are looking at it in a wrong place. We are like this simpleton. A short story of this simpleton. This man, now you laugh at it, but that is exactly what we do. This man, in the night, it was very dark, he tried to go to his house and he dropped the key. And it was dark, he couldn't see the key. But he saw across the street, a block away, across the street, he saw a light. He thought, this is dark here. I'll go under the light and I'll look for it. And he was looking for the key. And someone asked, he couldn't find it. So someone tried to help him and asked, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the key. He said, but there's no key here. He said, I know. He said, where did you drop it? Oh, I dropped it near my house. Then why are you looking here? Because there's light here and it's dark there. So we laugh at that. But isn't that exactly what we are doing? We are looking for the happiness where there is light. With what we see, with what we hear, with what we smell, with what we touch, because there's light there. There's, we think that is happiness. But we are looking at it where there is light, but I didn't drop there. Happiness is not there. Happiness is somewhere else. So we have to, if you understand all these, the three characteristics, you find happiness in your own self by looking within you, not outside. Go within you and look for the peace and the happiness that will give them, the lasting happiness. Then another thing is, most of us, we live like the ostrich. Okay? We pretend that if we try to pretend that there is no suffering, we think suffering will never come to us. So we lead a life of pretense. I know some of my family members so tells me all the time, you know, actually my sister, to be honest, she's married to a Christian, so she's going between both Catholicism, and she says, and sometimes Buddhism is very, because I always talk of impermanence and I always talk of death. So she talks, it's very pessimistic, right? Why do you have to talk of it? See, I am very happy all the time. I have this, that. So she's talking of all the things. So after a while, then I asked her something about cats. Then she forgot what she said about 5 minutes ago. And then she's talking of all the problems that she has. Oh, I don't even have a minute to do this. I have this, that, everything is a problem. Like, to final, I said, I don't have half the problems that you have. So, I said, I don't have any of those problems. because I understand that everything changes. Money is useless, I said. I don't have a single penny with me, and I'm very happy, I said. What does money do? I have traveled all the whole world, half the world across, without a penny in my hand, and I'm fine. So I said, money doesn't make you happy. I said, those material things don't make you happy. Understanding that everything is changing, understanding that everything is unsatisfactory, and trying to do something about that, that is what will bring you happiness. So if we really, really spend the time and look within ourselves, the reality, what do we see? We will see what a big burden that we are carrying. How heavy is our burden? That is, we are carrying all the time the burden of pain and suffering. And with all this, carrying this burden on our shoulders, we pretend and we say, I'm happy. That's nothing to bother me. But how many times are we really, really happy? I think the few times that you can say you're really happy and you're peaceful is if you ever sit on the cushion and spend a half an hour sitting on the cushion, you'll find a little happiness much more lasting than the happiness that you find running behind the pleasures of the senses. Because that's what normally the worldly people do, right? They run behind the they fill up the senses. They run and run all the time, and they are tired. They never find. Happiness is always a front. It's like the donkey running after the carrot. Right? You can't. But how many of you have heard Ajahn Brahm's Buddhist donkey? I think you're all familiar with Ajahn Brahm, right? Yeah. He has a Buddhist donkey. You want to hear the Buddhist donkey, how the Buddhist donkey catches the carrot? Okay, now, see, normally the carrot, you have a carrot in front of the path so that the donkey can run chasing to it. That is the thing that makes the donkey run. Now, once in a way, we find a Buddhist donkey. This Buddhist donkey, this Buddhist donkey will run as fast as he can. And then, what does he do? He stops, bam, and sits down. Now, what happens is when you run fast and sit down, that carrot will go twice that distance. But it's a Buddhist donkey. It has patience too, and it knows. So it will sit and wait very patiently. Now the carrot, after it goes another distance, the pendulum swings that way. And what happens when it goes that way? It turns and it comes back. So the donkey will sit and wait, and the carrot will come. And when it comes, just open the mouth and the carrot will go just right into the mouth. So that is how a Buddhist donkey catches carrot. That is how you have to catch the pleasure. How? By sitting still, making your mind still, sitting on the cushion and be patient and wait, and you'll catch all the happy moments. What?
Isn't that grasping for happiness, though?
What? The Buddhist... That's only of the Buddhist donkey.
Right, waiting for the carrot.
That's only a Buddhist donkey will do that. No, no, we are not... See, you don't grasp for happiness. You let go of the happiness. You let go of it. See, Buddhist meditation, the Buddhist way is to let go of everything. The more you let go, the more happiness it is. You are not grasping for happiness. You are letting go of things that you thought will make you happy. You are letting go of your money. You are letting go of your this. You are letting go of what you see. You are letting go. So meditation is actually a method of letting go. All you do is you try to be kind, gentle, and you make peace with everything. Making peace is another way of saying you let go. You acknowledge it and let go. I was talking about that is only a Buddhist monkey. Donkey will do that to get the carrot. So what we don't understand is the more we run after desire, what do we get? The more I'm going to run out of time. The more dukkha we will get. Now, we'll go to the third one. Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. Mere suffering exists. No sufferer found. The deeds are, but no doer of the deed is there. Nibbana is, but not the man that enters. The path is, but no traveler on it is seen. No doer of the deeds is found, no being that may reap the fruits. Empty phenomena roll on. This is the only right view. Anyone has any idea where that quote is from? Huh? No. It's from the Visuddhimagga. The path, the the past of purification. That was it was written by Buddha Gosha and translated by Bhikkhu Nanamoli, I think. Now, the other two is very easy for most people to understand, because you can, I mean, you can see in your body, you can see, you experience both unsatisfactoriness you experience and also impermanence you can experience. You can see. Actually, you can understand it even if you don't experience it, you can understand it intellectually. But the hardest for everyone is to understand non-self. And this non-self is unique only to Buddhism. So it is a unique feature only in Buddhism, the non-self. And all living beings, animate, inanimate, they all have the characteristic of anatta in the stamped on them, because everything changes. If everything changes all the time, can there be a permanent thing residing in our body? If our body, if everything in the body, see our body, what we call our body, a human being, whatever you call, is made up of only five constituents, five factors. Anyone knows those five factors? That our body, that what we call I, my, yourself is made of? What are the five factors? Now that surprises me.
Fire, air,
no. Okay. We do all have a body, right? That's form, that's material. Right? Do you have feelings? Yeah, you have feelings. Do you have perception? Yes. Do you have intention? Will, intent, volition? Yes. And do you have consciousness? These are the five things that we together we call a I, a mind, and a self. But all these are changing all the time. The body changes all the time. Feelings change all the time. Our perception changes all the time too, right? Do we perceive the same thing? I mean, doesn't it change? And sometimes we have wrong perceptions too. And our intention, it changes all the time. And so is our consciousness. It changes, right? Consciousness is not there all the time, it changes. Everything arises and falls. So if everything, if all these five things, everything arises and falls, can there be a permanent entity here? So it is impermanent. That is why the Buddha said everything is impermanent. Everything is, there's no self. We are only processes that is working, a process that is working. See, when we see, it's a function that is happening, a process that is happening. When we hear, it is a process that is happening. When we smell, taste, touch, think, those are all processes that arise and fall. So every time something arises and falls, it is like dying, death is happening like. So every second we are dying and we reborn, because all these arise and pass away. So that is why, can I take another 5 minutes? Mine says it's 24. Okay, thank you. Anyway, now this is what the Blessed One taught the five bhikkhus in the second discourse. If you want to know the second discourse, now, I got help for the first discourse. What is the second discourse of the Blessed One, Jesus, five bhikkhus? No? Anattalakkhana. Yes. It's called the Anattalakkhana Sutta. That is the characteristics of life. And it is such a powerful sutta that all five bhikkhus became arahats at the end of that. So in the Anattalakkhana Sutta, that is what he said. Everything is without a self. Because he went on asking the same questions that if everything changes, then, and now we found out that everything changes, right? We found that there's nothing in this world that doesn't change. Everything changes. And we also, during our discussion right now, we all agreed and we all found that everything is unsatisfactory. So if everything is changing and if everything is unsatisfactory, where can you find something permanent, something solid, something that is right there? Where is it? There's nothing in the body. You can't find it in the body. You can't find it in your feelings. You can't find it in your perceptions. You can't find it in your intentions. And you can't find it in your conscience. So where is this permanent entity that we call I, my, the self? See, it's just a designation that is given. I is only a designation that is given to these ever-changing, impermanent skandhas, the factors that together form that we call I, my, so that we can talk about it. That is all that is there. Just for conversation, just to express yourself that there is an I. Other than that, there is no I. So you cannot find a self anywhere in the body, nor in the mind, what we all have, this great, our greatest delusion is this illusion of a self that is residing within us. All we can have to do is to get rid of this illusion. And when we can get rid of this illusion of a self, then that is called enlightenment. And then that is will stop us from wandering around and round in samsara. That is what is called nibbana. And that is where the happiness lies. That is where you have to find the happiness. Not where that light was. This is the light that will shine and be bright and take you. That happiness is everlasting. So that is why it said all dhammas, conditioned and unconditioned, are not self. When one comprehends this truth by one's own wisdom, not because someone says it, you have to understand it, you have to realize it, by your own wisdom, not intellectually, but experientially. Then one gets disenchanted about this misery. This is the path to purity. So may you all be blessed with good health, long life, peace, and happiness. May all beings be well, happy, and peaceful. May all of us sitting here be well, happy, and peaceful. Sadhu. sadhu, sadhu, buddhang, dhammang, sanghang, namassane.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.